All right, folks, God bless you. Open your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30, we'll begin our thoughts by reading Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 2 this morning. This will be the 21st lesson number 21 in our study on the defense of the King James Bible, Hold Firm to the Foundation. And this morning I want us to try to finish up on the section on why do they keep making English versions of the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse number 2, the Bible says this, "Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book." God told him, he said, "Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book." Now, folks, I want to make an application of that verse there and make this statement. God had written down for us all the words that He's spoken to man in a book. For English-speaking people, it's the King James Version of the Bible. Something that I haven't dealt with this whole study, I mentioned for English-speaking people, folks, there is the Word of God, the infallible Word of God, that's not in English. You do realize, of course, that there are other versions, other language versions, I mean, of the Bible that are taken from exactly the same source as our King James Bible is taken. And because of that, they too would be considered the inspired and infallible Word of God. So it's not just English. You see, folks, God didn't just give the infallible Word of God and preserve it into this day in English. God has done it in other languages also, and we thank God for His goodness, because God is, folks, He's no respecter of persons. So please keep that in mind. Now, with this thought of writing the words in a book, I want to read two verses in Revelation chapter 22. Again, very familiar verses. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Now, folks, the Bible teaches us that God has given us a complete Word of God. God further goes on and He warns us. He says, listen, it's not the place of man. Man does not have the right to either add to the words that I've given, nor does man have the right to take away from the words that I have written. We've came to the place in American society when it comes to the Word of God, the foundation has been departed from, if you will. Generally speaking, people in general do not believe that there is a real Word of God. People in general don't believe that there's a Word from God that is authoritative and that they will give an account to Almighty God someday for how they responded to the words of this book. But the truth of the matter is, there is a Word from God. It's a complete Word from God. And one of these days, God is going to judge all of mankind based on the words of this book. You see, folks, it's not okay. It's not okay to rewrite the Bible. It's not okay to take away words that you don't like. It's not okay to add words that you want to have there. Our responsibility is simply to hold to the Word of God and to live our lives by this Word of God. And men are just not doing that. You see, they're rewriting it almost 500 times. By the way, I throw out these numbers, and what I'm going to say now is going to be somewhat contradictory to all that I've been saying. But you know, there is one book written that was written showing all the different versions of the Bible in English. And by some accounts, there's been almost 1,000 different versions. I know I'm using around 500 or just under 500. And with my own study from 1881 to now, and I've mentioned this to you before, I elected only to list those that I had a copyright date for. I found the listing that I've given you in the notes that you have. I could have listed more there, but I would not list the ones. This is strictly arbitrary on my part. I simply decided to do it this way. And I only listed those that there was a copyright date for. Now, here's what I'm getting at. Folks, the Word of God has been rewritten hundreds and hundreds of times. I'm talking about in English now, in English. And people seem to think nothing at all of adding to and taking away from the Word of God. And yet the Bible makes it clear that one day they'll give an account for doing so. Now, let's look at the Word of God, the reasons why they're writing, making so many versions, English versions, of the Word of God. Number one, will not reteach it this morning. Number one, will not teach this morning what we taught last week. But number one, of course, is for money. The copyright date. They copyright it so that they can make money on it. Number two, a second noble reason, I'm using that word noble in a sarcastic way, that it's not noble at all. A second reason they're rewriting, they're making so many different versions of the Bible, is because they want to remove teaching from the Bible that they don't like. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, you mean somebody would actually rewrite the Bible and take out something that they don't like? Well, of course they would. Of course they would. Isn't that what the New World Translation is all about? You'll recall, I'm sure most of you in your mind are thinking of it now, the New World Translation is the translation that's used by the false Jehovah's Witnesses. The Jehovah's Witnesses have what's called the New World Translation. It's their version of the Scriptures. What did they do in the New World Translation? They removed the teachings that they don't like. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. They don't believe that. And because they don't, when they wrote their version of John chapter 1, where the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, they changed it and it says, the Word was a God. Why did they do that? Because they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. So what did they do in the New World Translation? They changed things. They added things they removed things that they didn't like. By the way, the New World Translation is merely a critical text Bible. The New World Translation is a critical text Bible, just like the New International Version, just like the New King James Version, even though the New King James Version, they lie and say in the preface of the Bible that it's a traditional text-based scripture, and the fact of the matter, it is not a traditional text-based scripture. The New World Translation, think about it like this. The New International Version and the New King James Version and the Holman Bible, which is the one that the Southern Baptists came out with, see, they had to have their own Bible, and the New English Version, and boy, we could just keep on going right on down the line. Do you realize that with most of the Scriptures in all of those versions, they agree with the New World Translation, the Jehovah's Witness Bible? How can that be? It's because they're all simply critical text versions of the Bible. My, my, my. Two reasons why they keep making English versions of the Bible. The first reason, they want to make money. Number two, they want to remove teachings from the Bible that they don't like. And number three is very closely related to number two, and they go hand in hand. Number three, and I'm on page 109, by the way, of your notes, the bottom of the page. Critical text version creators often have as their motive the desire to add non-biblical teaching our doctrine to the Bible. So number two and number three go hand in hand. Why do they keep making all these English versions? They want to make money. They want to add teaching that they want to have in there, and they want to remove teaching that they don't want to have in there. Now think about this. Words have meaning. Words have meaning. We all understand that. If you change the words for anything, you change the meaning. If you change the words, folks, it didn't make any difference what it is. In my work, I write business letters almost every day. Almost every day I have to send out letters to various people and all. Business letters. Those letters have a certain wording in there. Folks, if you change the words that I put in the letter, the business letter, it no longer means the same thing it did before. We all understand it. That's not hard at all, folks. I mean, there's nothing magical or mystical about that. It is just first grade stuff. Folks, it's the same with the Word of God. If you change the words, you change the meaning. Now, here's one of the great lies that they always tell. You hear people say concerning all these versions of the Bible. They say something like this. They say, well, it's just like the King James Version. Or it's almost just like the King James Version. Or there's no doctrine changed in it. Folks, all of those things are wrong. Now, I don't know the heart of the people that make those statements. I've had people make those statements to me before. We'd have to take it on a case-by-case basis, but one of two things is reality. If someone tells you that referring to all these hundreds of other critical text versions in English, if they tell you it's just like the King James Bible, or it's almost just like the King James Bible, or there's no doctrine change, one of two things is the truth. One of them is that maybe they're just saying that in ignorance. And I believe that's the case most of the time. I believe that most of the people that make that statement, they're just repeating something that they've heard. Most of the people that make that statement have never even studied the issue. They don't have an idea in the world. They've heard that statement made, and they repeat that statement, and they make that statement out of ignorance. Now, if they have studied the issue and they still make that statement, then they're liars. So when somebody tells you that all these English versions are just like the King James Bible or almost just like the King James Bible, or there's no doctrine changed in them, they're either ignorant or they're lying. And in either case, you don't want to listen to what they have to say. Now remember, let me refresh your memory. No matter which one of these versions that you want to name, go down the list and pick one. No matter which critical text version that you want to name, every one of them is going to be wrong at least 10,000 times. Whoa. You see, the critical text itself changes about 10,000 words. They're based on the critical text. So let's do our arithmetic now. Let's do our arithmetic. So here we've got critical text Bibles that are continuing to be made. Remember, we just read about a new one that came out just within the last few weeks, and they'd already sold 55,000 copies of it. So they're raking in the dough. They're doing what they wanted to do. Now, I want you to think about it with me for just a minute. That Bible started off different from your King James Bible in 10,000 different words minimum. But now we've got to add something to that. The copyright. In order for them to get a copyright on that new Bible, they had to make it different from all the other hundreds of versions that are out there. So now you see what's happened. Now do you see the dishonesty involved here in handling the Word of God? Not only did they start out with a critical text which changes the Bible in 10,000 words, but now to meet the copyright criteria, they have to change tens of thousands of other words in order to get around the copyright situation and to be able to get a new copyright. So, folks, you know what the reality of the matter is? The reality of the matter is that every new version that comes out is different from the King James Bible, not in a few thousand places, but in hundreds of thousands of places. The New King James Bible, which claims, by the way, to be a traditional text-based Bible, it's different from the King James Bible in about 100,000 words. About 80 words on every page are different. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, I don't believe that. Get one and read it. I hate for you to spend your money on one. See, if somebody's got one that they're going to throw away and borrow it, I don't want you to spend money on that thing at all. Folks, just get one. Get one somewhere and turn to Matthew chapter 17. Turn to John chapter 15. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 3. Just turn wherever you want to. Take your King James Bible and open it to a chapter. And take that thing and open it to the same chapter and read the two pages and get your paper out with you and your pencil. And as you read, every time you come to a word that's different, put a mark. You know, I'm a great artist. I do make marks like that. That's how kind of art. I can't even draw stick men, but I just make a mark, you know, and you get so many of them and you put a mark across them and all. So you just go down the page and you read a page and you see how many changes there are. Folks, there's nothing secret about this. We're not talking about something that this Baptist preacher made up and is trying to get you to believe. I want you to be noble Christians. You remember what the Bible says? The Bible says that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Folks, I want you to check it out. Check me out. If I say something that's not familiar to you, study it. Find out if it's the truth. If you do that, nobody will ever be able to deceive you. If you go to the Word of God when you hear something that you're not sure about, if you'll go to the Word of God and study it yourself, no man will ever be able to draw you away from the things of God if you'll just stay in the Word of God. Why do they keep making all these English versions of the Bible? Number one, they want to make money. Number two, they want to remove teachings that they don't like. Number three, they want to add teachings that they do like. Remember, it's a gradual process. The changes never stop. New International Version, they just came out with their new one. I know I've told you this. They just came out with their new one this year. 2011 model now. 2011 model. It's got a lot of changes over the 1984 model that they had. And guess what? It's just like cars. You've got to have a new model. By the way, why do they come out with new model cars? Somebody tell me that. Something different. They want something different because they want to do what? They want to sell them, and they want to sell them for what? To make money. Folks, that's exactly the reason they come out with new models of the Bibles, too. Why did the NIV people decide, Zondervan, why did they decide that they needed to come out with a 2011 version of the NIV if the 1984 model was the Word of God? Because, folks, they needed a new, fresh sales pitch. They needed a new marketing approach. They needed something that they could stick out before the public and say, hey, this is new and great and good and you need it and we've got it. They wanted to make money. Number four, why they keep making English versions of the Bible, page 110 in your notes. Pride is a great motivator. Many become involved in the Bible translation business because they cherish the prestige and the recognition and the praise of man that comes with being a scholar of high enough standing to be involved in the writing of a Bible. These are the type of people that are more interested in self than in souls and have a far greater desire to get glory to self than to give glory to man. Folks, intellect, knowledge, education, learning are things that can be used for the honor and glory of God. Those are things that should be used for the honor and glory of God. But folks, the reality is this. If education and intellectualism is not controlled by the Spirit of God, what it does is to caress the sinful pride of man. And that intellect and that knowledge and that education ends up being a curse to a person instead of being a blessing. Someone has said that education without the Spirit of God is like a cancerous tumor. It'll continue to grow, but it'll eventually kill the host. Folks, that's the way it is. People get caught up in this thing. They get caught up. Somebody, Dr. Bottlestopper, gets a call from a committee, and they say, hey, we're gonna come up with a new version of the Bible. We think there's a need for that. And immediately he's lifted up in pride. Oh, you know, wow, man, I am pretty smart. I guess I would be one of the kind of people that need to be on a committee like that. And yeah, I guess I could do that. I could write a Bible, I guess, if I needed to do that, you know, for the good of mankind. And boy, the next thing you know, pride is all involved. And they're just caught up in it. And there's no longer any thought of God and the things of God. It's all about self now, folks. I know that sounds hard. I'm trying my best to tell you the truth. You see, the problem is, the truth is not being told about this issue. The problem is that good people, and I want you to listen very carefully to me. The problem is that good people have sat around and done nothing on this issue, including talking and telling the truth about it for way too long. I'm not being mean about that. In many cases, I'm talking about good people that are busy serving the Lord. I mean, they believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God. They believe it's the Word of God. And they present it as the Word of God, and they're out winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're doing the will of God and involved in ministry, and all those are wonderful things. But what we've done in many cases is because we've remained silent about it, people have got the impression from that that it's really not a big deal, that it's okay. Well, these folks that believe the King James Bible's Word of God, they're not really saying anything about it, so it must not be that big of a deal. Folks, we've kept quiet for so long that the whole situation is about to swallow us up now. You see, way back when, it was just those liberal churches that were involved. Way back when, we heard about it. It was in that denomination nobody's ever heard of, and those people not even saved, and they never did care about the things of God. But you know what's happening now, folks? One Baptist church after another is surrendering the King James Bible and going to a critical text version. I'm not talking about just Southern Baptist churches. There are independent Baptist churches all over this country that are going to critical text versions of the Bible. Now, please understand, I won't give the proper perspective here. The vast majority of independent Baptist churches are still staying with the King James Bible. But more and more, even independent Baptist churches are surrendering the true Word of God for critical text versions. What's one of the reasons they keep writing all these versions? Pride's one of them. Number five, why they keep making all these English versions of the Bible. Here's the heart of the matter. Those who are involved with perverting the Word of God, the King James Bible, are simply doing the will of the devil. Understand what I'm saying. I didn't say that everybody that's involved in it is lost. I am saying that everybody that's involved in it and promoting critical text versions is doing the will of the devil, and it's not doing the will of Almighty God. You see, a saved person can do wrong. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say to Peter? The Lord Jesus Christ was going to go to the cross. And you remember Peter stood up and he said, "Oh no, Lord, that's never going to happen." And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say to Peter? "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God." What was happening with Peter? Peter was a saved man. He's one of the apostles. The devil was trying to work through Peter to stand against the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, the devil does that all the time through saved people. People that are truly born again, if they're not careful, they'll allow themselves to be used by the devil to accomplish what the devil wants to have done. The devil wants to destroy faith in the Word of God. Folks, the devil has never had any lack of weapons to use against people. He's always had the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. He's always had a lot of weapons. But in recent years, we've heard a term, weapons of mass destruction, a lot, haven't we? A weapon of mass destruction is one that's a lot more destructive than other weapons. It's one that has a further-reaching capability. It's one that can destroy a lot more lives in a single blast. It's one that has much further-reaching consequences. I submit to you this morning that Satan's weapon of mass destruction today in trying to destroy the effectiveness of the people of God, his weapon of mass destruction is the Bible translation business. He's in the process of destroying entire generations. Make no mistake about it. When a young person sees mom or dad turn away from the King James Bible and embrace a critical text version, when a young person sees grandma or grandpa turn away from the King James Bible and embrace a critical text version, when a young person grows up in a church that had been using the King James Bible and their preacher had been getting up in the pulpit over all those years they were growing up, they think back in their mind and they can remember that preacher standing up in the pulpit and holding his Bible over his head like a madman and yelling and proclaiming, "This is the infallible Word of Almighty God." And one day that young person sees that same preacher get up in the pulpit and Today, he's got a critical text version. And he gets up there and he says something like this. He said, well, you know, he said, in this enlightened age, he said, we've just simply learned that there were some older and better manuscripts. And the Bible that's translated from those manuscripts is more accurate than that old King James Bible. And we've decided that we're going to go in that direction. When that young person sees that, Satan gets a hold of them, and here's what Satan says. Satan says to them, you know what? They're all a bunch of hypocrites. All your life, Mom and Dad said that the King James Bible was the Word of God. All your life, Grandma and Grandpa said that the King James Bible was the Word of God. All your life, the preacher at the church that I've always gone to said that the King James Bible is the Word of God, but now they say it's not worth fighting for. They say it's not worth aggressively defending. They say it's just the way it is nowadays that people are turning away from it and going to these other versions, and we really don't have much of a choice. We just got to go along with them. Satan will get a hold of that young person, and you know what they'll do? They'll form the opinion in their mind that there just is no Word of God. By the way, that's what all the critical text people that created critical text believe. They don't believe there is a Word of God. They don't believe that we've got one, and they don't believe that we'll ever have one. They put it in their writing, folks. Read it for yourself. Satan will get a hold of that young person, and you know what they'll come to the conclusion of? They'll come to the conclusion that there is no Word from God. When that happens, when there is no Word from God, then of course there is no rules for living then. All that stuff I heard about not living in sin, that may or may not be right, but you know, the Bible, it's not all true, and so I don't know if that's right or not. And if we don't have it, if we don't have the Bible, then God couldn't hold me accountable for the Bible if I really don't have the Bible. And that young person will turn away from it. In all likelihood, they'll probably really, very rarely, if ever, darken the doors of a Bible-believing church again. They'll be discouraged and defeated spiritually, even I'm talking about somebody that's even knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They'll be discouraged and defeated. But folks, we hadn't got to the bad part yet. We're talking about the weapon of mass destruction. We're talking about a weapon that's powerful enough to reach across from one generation to the next. See, the bad part's coming up. Here it is. That young person that got discouraged and lost faith in the Bible is the Word of God and has pretty much decided now that nobody's got the Word of God. They're going to have some children of their own one of these days. Guess what? Their child is never even going to have the opportunity to know anything about the Word of God because they're not going to teach them. And folks, you're going to have a generation that's going to grow up without the Word of God, under the judgment of God. And that'll be perpetuated from one generation to the next. That next generation won't have the Word of God, and the next generation won't have the Word of God. Folks, that's how serious it is. Everything that you and I believe concerning every spiritual thing is based on the Word of God. If I ask you to stand up individually and name some spiritual teaching, some spiritual thing, if I went around everybody in the room this morning and asked you to do that, you'd stand up and boy, we'd have dozens of different things. Anything that you can name, the only way that we know anything about it, the only way we can know anything about it, is from the Word of God. If this is not true, we don't know whether we've got, whether that's true or not. And by the way, it's either perfect or it's not. You see, you're never going to get me to say that there's one thing wrong with this King James Bible. Why not? Because I don't believe there's one thing wrong with it. Before Almighty God, I do not believe there's one thing wrong with the Bible. I believe it's perfect. I believe it's translated perfectly. I have hundreds of Bible commentaries. I'm going somewhere now. If you went home to my books right now and pulled all my commentaries down off the shelf, you know what you'd find out? You'd find out that probably 70% of them, 70% of them, as you're studying, pick a book, 1 Corinthians, Philippians, Revelation, whatever book you want to say, you'll find out that 70% of the commentaries that I have on my bookshelf, as you're reading through and studying the verses in whatever chapter in whatever book, you know what they're going to say? In those commentaries, it'll make a statement like this. Talking about the King James Bible, it'll say in that commentary, well, this verse is translated so and so, but it should be translated as. Hogwash. Folks, it's translated just exactly right. It's translated just exactly right. If I went down the list and named names this morning, famous people, famous preachers, famous writers, days gone by and today, that have embraced critical text versions of the Bible, some of you would be shocked to death. Some of you would think that I was lying to you about it. We're talking about a bad problem, folks. And it's only getting worse. I got to stop right here. I don't want to start this next section this morning. Let me leave you with this thought. Do you remember what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ toward the end of His ministry, just before He died? All the disciples, the Bible says, left Him and ran away. People that had been following the Lord Jesus Christ, they were afraid to associate with Him anymore. He was about to die, and the man thought he was going to kill him. We all understand that Jesus gave up His life, and man didn't actually kill the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave His life, but man thought he was killing the Lord Jesus Christ. People were afraid to associate with Him. I mean, at the end of His ministry there, when the authorities had seized the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, man, we better get away from Him, because if we don't, we're going to be guilty by association, and they may get us too. Now, I thank God there were a few that stood with Him. By the way, as near as I can tell, there were more ladies that stayed with Him than there were men. There were more women that had courage to stand by the Lord Jesus Christ than there were men. So, Brother Kirkpatrick, what in the world are you getting at? Folks, isn't the same thing happening with the King James Bible today? Those that had been standing for the King James Bible today, some of them are beginning to get a little wishy-washy. Some of them are saying, well, wait a minute, I don't want to be in the minority. Guess what? I got news for you. If you're a child of God, you're in the minority. You might as well just go all out. We're late in the day, folks. Jesus is coming soon. I don't know when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. I believe it's soon. And I know that it's closer than it's ever been before. I mean, it's closer this morning than it was yesterday morning. I think we'll all agree with that. We're late in the day. Jesus is coming. Just like in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, it came down toward the end of His ministry and His life was going to be taken. The people forsook Him and fled. By the way, a lot of the people that forsook Him and fled were believers. A lot of the apostles did. They were believers, but they were just overcome with fear. Same thing's happening with the King James Bible today. We're living in a day because of fear. Men are forsaking it and fleeing. Why? Why? They don't want to be called radical. They don't want to be called uneducated. I mean, this educated crowd that doesn't believe the Bible, they've got it down. They say, well, if you don't believe what we're telling you, you're just uneducated. Brother A.D., I'm just fine with being uneducated. It doesn't bother me a bit in the world. They can't make me ashamed of that. They can't bother me by that. It makes no difference. The question is, it just comes down, I've got to ask myself, who am I most afraid of? Am I the most afraid of being unaccepted by that educated crowd that's rejected the Word of God, or am I more afraid of going against that true remnant of believers that love Jesus Christ and love the Word of God? And folks, I've made up my mind. I've determined. It's all said in my heart and mind. I've determined I'm going to stick with the remnant. I'm going to stay with the crowd that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and believes that the Bible is the Word of God, and I'm going to let that crowd that's rejected the Word of God do whatever they want to do, but I'm not going to be quiet about it. I'm going to tell on them every chance I get. Why do they keep making English versions of the Bible? To make money, to add things that they want taught, to take away things they don't want taught, because it's a massaging of fleshly pride, and number five, because they're simply doing what the devil is moving on their heart to do. Folks, stay with the Word of God. This is it right here. It's King James Bible for English speaking people. Every word of it's true. You can stand on it. You can base eternity on it. It's never going to change. God's never going to change His mind. Just stay with the Word of God. Heavenly Father, bless Your people. Have Your way in hearts and lives, I ask in Jesus' name.